Chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20. We're in a series called Back to Basics. Back to Basics. What we commonly call the Ten Commandments. And if you remember, Jesus, when asked about the greatest commandment, said the first one is love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your being. And the second one's like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Basically, what Jesus did was boil all the commandments down to one word. Class, what was that word? Love. Love the Lord, love your neighbor. It's all boiled down to love. You see, if you love the Lord, you'll have no other gods but Him. If you love the Lord, you won't make any graven images of God or bow down to them. And today we come to the third commandment. If you really love the Lord, you will not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave you unpunished who take His name in vain. I like the Living Bible translation of it. It says, "You shall not use the name of Jehovah your God irreverently, nor use it to swear to a falsehood. You will not escape punishment if you do." Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would minister very specially to us this morning, and that in everything we might magnify and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, for it's in His name we pray. Amen. I like this translation of the Living Bible because it really expresses very accurately how deep this commandment is, how deep it really is. See, the application of the commandment has always been along the lines of not using God's name in anger or using God's name to damn someone. And that is part of the commandment. You're not supposed to do that. But there's far more to this than just those things. You see, God is deadly serious about His name. He's deadly serious about it. Listen to Leviticus chapter 24, verse 16. "And whosoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him, the stranger as well as him who is born in the land. When he blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death." You see, misusing God's name was a capital offense. It was a capital offense. And when you think about it, folks, there's a big difference between God's name and our name. You see, human beings never name themselves. When you were born, someone named you, right? Presumably your mother, your father. In our family's case, it's every aunt and uncle that ever walked the face of the earth, and that's why they have names about this long. Lay one name on them. The third. No.
My uncle.
Seriously, that's her uncle. I mean, and so we were given names by our parents or someone along those lines. But you know what? No one ever named God. No one ever did. We don't tell God who He is. He tells us who He is. You see, God owns His own naming rights. He's got everything we need. In fact, He comes before all other names. He is above all other names. And He takes His name deadly serious. You know, today, in our culture, we have elevated the human name and devalued the name of God. You look today and you say something about some particular person and you're crucified in the Twitter and on Facebook and the internet, all over the place, you're crucified if you say something about a person. But the name of God, it's used as a slang word. It's used as a curse word. Something's wrong when we've flipped that thing around. The Bible, in the Bible, name is more than just a label. It's not. It represents the character of the person. And Jesus had something very important to say about the character of God. In fact, if I were to ask Jesus, if He were to walk in the door over here, say, "Come up on the platform and get behind the pulpit here and just kind of share your thoughts with us," I bet every one of us would grab a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil to listen to Jesus' prayer requests, things that He was on His heart. But you know what? We don't have to wonder what they are. We know. The disciples asked Jesus how to pray. Remember that? "Teach us to pray." And He began with His greatest concern. "Our Father who art in heaven. What's the last next phrase? Hallowed be thy name. That was his concern. That word hallow means to separate from profane things. Jesus Christ said his number one concern is that the name of God was holy. The word holy means set apart. As I said, that's derivative of the word hallowed. It's hagios. It's being set apart for the use of God. He wanted God's name to be handled with reverence. With reverence. So how do we make sure that we don't misuse God's name? Well, I'm going to give you three ways this morning how we can be sure that we're not going to misuse God's ways. Here's number one. Be careful how you treat God's name. Be careful how you treat God's name. You know, we don't take God's name as seriously today as they did thousands of years ago. It's amazing when the Jewish scribes were copying the scriptures, they were transcribing God's word from scroll to scroll. When they would come to the name of God, they would put down their pens, they would go take a bath, they would get brand new clothes and a brand new pen, and they would write the name God. Then they would take that pen, their clothes, and burn them, and come back and continue to write. Once they came to the name of God again, they'd do the very same thing. They'd go get brand new clothes, a brand new pen, they'd write the name, they'd take it off, they'd burn it. That's how sacred the name of God was to them. In fact, in the Jewish culture, even today, you don't see the name God written. You don't see anything along those lines. What you really see is just letters. That's how hallowed he is. Adam, if you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, Adam had power. He had dominion. Hi, come on. Yeah, you come on up. Let me pause. Everybody, say hi. Hi, there we go. Okay, now, back to where I was. Adam was given dominion, given power over the animals. God told him, go and name all the animals. Now, I can understand birds, and I can understand lions, and tigers, and bears. Oh, my. But hippopotamus, rhinoceros, I saw one this morning, and it was Ectoroctus plactatum. I thought, where did Adam get that kind of stuff? I mean, it was just a thing, the slithers, a thing that walks and a thing that flies. You know. Anyway, God gave Adam that power to name all of them. But no one has power over God, right? Amen? Nobody has power over God. No one has the right to name God. He's the eternal one. He is the creator. He's the one who has always been. He's the one who existed before the creation. And you remember at the burning bush when Moses said to him, who shall I tell the nation of Israel sent me? And God said, tell them, I am that I am. Folks, he didn't say, I am what you think I am. He said, I am that I am. That's him, the pre-existing one, the eternal one. And out of God's own nature, out of his own heart, he disclosed his name to us. That's wonderful. And what he is saying here in this command is, don't take my name in a useless, frivolous, flippant fashion. In fact, that word profane comes from two Latin words, pro meaning out of, and famen, which means the temple. So it literally means don't take God's name out of the temple. In other words, don't take it out and drag it through the muck and the mire of our languages today. That's what it's being said. I remember seeing a bumper sticker, maybe you have too. The bumper sticker said, damn is not God's last name. I've seen it several times. And we have the responsibility to let other people know about the precious name of our Lord and our Savior. I read about a pastor who was on an airplane, and behind him were two salesmen, and they were talking to one another, and they were just cussing up a storm. They were all kinds of things, and finally the pastor had enough. And he got up out of his seat, and he turned around, and of course they were right behind him, and he turned around and he kind of looked down at them like this, and he said, "Excuse me, are you gentlemen in the ministry?" And they said, "What? Ministry? What made you think that?" He says, "Well, I was just, amazed at your communication skills." And they said, "Huh? What are you talking about?" He says, "You know what? You just said God and damn and hell and Jesus Christ in one sentence. And sometimes I can't use all of them in a whole sermon." The pastor sat down and he says, "You know what? I didn't hear another word from them the entire flight." Folks, there's a right way and a wrong way to let other people know who we are. I have a friend. In fact, he's been here a couple of times. And we played golf together. And we were playing with two other guys, and they were kind of in that same mode. They would, anytime the guy would miss a shot, he would use the Lord's name. So finally, Jim looked at him. He had missed a putt, and he used the Lord's name. And Jim kind of looked at him and said, "It wasn't his fault." And the guy says, "What?" He said, well, it wasn't Jesus' fault that you missed that putt." And he said, Oh, you guys must be pastors." Listen, I don't want to use the word proud, but I'm glad that God called me to be a pastor. I really am. If somebody said to me, "We have just decreed that we're going to remove the current president and we're going to make you president of the United States," I would not take the pay cut. I wouldn't do it. Now you say, "Wait a minute, Pastor, we don't pay you that much." No, I'm not talking about the pay that you pay me. I'm talking about the blessings that come from being where God wants me to be. God wants me to be here. You know, I realize the majority of us here, and I hope everybody here, would never use God's name the way these guys on the airplane used it. I'm expecting nobody here does that. But you know what? We do use God's name a lot. And we use it, for instance, in an exclamation point. "Good God. Oh, my Lord." Or, "I swear to God," or "Sweet Jesus," or even "Jesus Christ." Folks, every one of those is a misuse of God's name. Every one of them. And we better take to heart what God says about that. He says he will not hold that person guiltless that breaks that command. Now, I don't know all that's involved in not holding him guiltless, because remember now, these are commands for the church. These are commands for the family of Israel. And for those who were thinking, "Well, I'm not Jewish, so I'm not Israel." No, if you're a Christian, you belong to the nation of Israel. You are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we're in there. The believer who uses God's name in vain can never fully be right with God and in a position for his blessings until he confesses that before the Lord. So number one, be careful how you treat God's name. Number two, be thoughtful where you take God's name. Be thoughtful where you take God's name. Paul told Timothy, "A person who calls himself a Christian should not be doing things that are wrong." Hello. That's, everybody would say, "Well, of course you're not supposed to do that." And yet we do it all the time. Because you not only misuse God's name when you talk, you misuse God's name in your walk, in your lifestyle, in what you're doing in your life. You know, there are two main reasons, or I'm sure there are more than that, but there are two main reasons why people never accept the Lord into their life. Two reasons. And the first one is they've never really had anyone explain the gospel to him. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn right. You're in Exodus. Turn way right. All the way into the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the Apostle Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you've believed in vain. Now here it is, listen to it. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. That's the first tenet of the gospel. Christ died for our sins. All through his life, Jesus' one focus was the cross. That's the reason he came, to pay that price. And as he's hanging on that cross and he cries, "It is finished," the demons in hell must have just rejoiced. He's finished. He didn't do it. He's finished. Jesus didn't say, "I'm finished." Jesus said, "It's finished. I have paid for the salvation. I have paid the price for the sins of this world." I love the song, "Death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose." That's the second tenet. He was buried and then he rose again that third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel, folks. That's how every one of us got saved. So we need to be able to explain to other people what the gospel is. You know, I say this over and over again. When Jesus said we're to be witnesses, that means we're to tell what we know, right? When you get up in a court and you put your hand up and you say you swear to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but truth, help God, you say, "Yep." Or maybe you say, "I do." I don't know. Any way you answer it. Now, the lawyer will say, "Now tell us what you know." That's all a witness is, folks. Tell what you know. And I say it over and over again. If all you know is Jesus saved me, I was a sinner, I asked him to forgive me of my sins, I asked him to come into my life, and he saved me. That's all you know? That's all the Lord expects you to tell him. But you know what? God saved us just like we were, but he loves us too much to leave us where we are. He's going to move us along. He's going to give us what we need. I heard recently here that when we were saved, folks, we got everything that we need to live the Christian life. Everything we need to live the Christian life. Not we're sometime going to get it. We got it. And it's how we use it. You know, I catch myself doing this all the time. "Lord, I just pray you give me more wisdom." He's given me all the wisdom I can have. Everything I have in the Lord Jesus. Is Jesus wise? Okay, so I've got that wisdom. "Lord, give me strength to face another day." We've got the strength to face another day. It's appropriation. It's using what we have already been given in the Lord. That's the exciting part. We need to be prepared every day for the onslaught because it's coming. And if it's not in your life yet, hang on. It's going to get there. But here's the second one. We've met Christians and their talk didn't match their walk. See, if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ and you're not living differently from this world, then you're a bad advertisement for the Lord. You're just a bad advertisement. Paul told Titus, "They claim to know God, but in their actions, they deny him." They deny him. You see, when you claim to be a committed follower of Jesus, but you don't back it up with the way you live, you're misusing God's name. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you take God's name everywhere you go. It doesn't matter where it is. Colossians 3:17, Paul says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And give thanks through him to God the Father. Wow. Everything we do, everything. From the time we receive the Lord, you're to do it in his name. It's real simple. If you're going to do something and you don't think Jesus would be pleased with it, probably shouldn't do it. Probably shouldn't do it. See, as a follower of the Lord, you cannot get away from his name. You know, we put an ad in the paper. In fact, now we've got it in two papers, thanks to Liz. And it just says, "Here we are. Emmitsburg Community Baptist Church, here we are. And we love the Lord and we want you to come and visit with us. Thank you all for are coming. That's an advertisement. But folks, our lives are to be advertisements for the Lord. Let me ask you a question. How were you saved in the first place? Class, how were you saved? Acceptance. Paul said in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. When you were baptized, how were you baptized? If you were baptized, if you're getting ready to be baptized, this is how you'll be baptized. It's immersion. Therefore, make disciples, Jesus said, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Just a little, by the way, did you notice Jesus said in the name, singular, of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? There's the Trinity in the Scriptures. Somebody ever ask you, well, I don't see the Trinity anywhere. Send them to Matthew 28. It's there. So not only we are saved by calling on His name, we are baptized in His name. We're a 24/7 advertisement for His name. In fact, in Acts 11:26, the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Now, I know we know what that word means, Christian, right? Little Christ. See, at first it was a term of derision. When they first started calling them that, they were calling them it as a term of derision. Look, little Christ, you know, trying to act like Christ. Read about Alexander the Great. He was a brilliant military strategist, a mighty conqueror. He was fearless in battle. And during one particularly fierce battle, he noticed a man running the other way, one of his soldiers running this way. So he caught up with him. He said, "Soldier, what's your name?" The soldier kind of ducked his head and said, "My name's Alexander, sir, just like yours." Well, Alexander said, "Were you deserting?" And he said, "Yes, sir." Alexander got off his horse, walked up to him, got nose to nose with him, and said, "Son, change your direction or change your name." And that's exactly what it is for us. That's great advice. Either change your direction or change your name. So be careful how you treat God's name. Be thoughtful where you take God's name. And here's the third one. Be faithful how you trust God's name. I want you just to listen. Jot these down, three verses of Scripture. Psalm 9, verse 10. You just write it down and you can look it up when you get home. "And those who know your name will put their trust in you." Psalm 33, verse 21 says, "For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name." And then Isaiah 50, verse 10, "Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God." You see, the name of the Lord is so powerful. It is so unique. It's so above every other name. And it is in His name alone, we find our salvation. Peter said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, speaking of the Lord Jesus, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than the Lord Jesus." You know why God has given us His name to begin with? Because He wants to be on a first name basis with Him. He created us and He loves us. And because of sin, we have separated ourselves from Him. But He wants us back. And through Jesus Christ, He's given us the opportunity to become part of His family. And not only know Him on a first name basis, we can call Him Dad. Isn't that great? Dad. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, Paul said, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. And now you can call Him Abba, Father." That's a Jewish term for daddy. That's how genuine, that's how real, that's how precious he is to us, or should be to us. Now, the unbeliever can call upon God's name for help, but it's only the Christian who truly has the right to use God's name at all. That's because Jesus paid the price for our salvation. It was because of the cross that we have access to the throne of God. It's because of the cross that we know the Lord hears us when we pray. And it's because of the cross that we have the right, we have the privilege, we have the responsibility, even more than anyone else in this world, to use God's name in reverence and in fear. The great I Am hears us at all times. So he says, don't use my name uselessly, flippantly, arrogantly. Because when we misuse God's name, it's because we've forgotten a couple of things. Number one, who God is. And number two, who we are. God is perfect. God is holy. God is righteous. We, on the other hand, are imperfect. We are unrighteous, and we are sinners. When we realize that, we won't dare misuse his name. We'll live in gratitude because we know his name. We know who he is. We know his character. So the question is, well, what's that got to do with the ECBC family? We've got to give God reverence. We have got to give him respect. And we have got to give him all the love that he deserves, every bit of it. And it all begins with making sure that we use his name properly and that we never misuse it with profanity or carelessly or uselessly. So be careful how you treat God's name. Be thoughtful when you take God's name, where you take it. And be faithful how you trust God's name. Because, folks, it's the only name that can take you to heaven. God wants us to guard our words and make sure we're not using God's name the wrong way. So check yourself out. Do you use God's name as an expression of anger or surprise, casually, sometimes in jest? Guilty as charged. God's name is too holy for that, folks. The name God biblically is the whole being of God. It's who he is. To know him is to know his identity. To know his name is to know his character, his personality, his love, his mercy. Is that where we are today? God has allowed us to know him through the Word of God and then incarnate as the Lord Jesus Christ when he stepped out of glory and became a man. In fact, in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, the writer says he, speaking of Jesus, is the exact representation of God. I said it last week. I say it again. If God ever took a selfie, put it on Instagram, it would be Jesus. That's the visible expression of God. God can be known, and he has revealed himself. He's given us everything we need to know about God so we can know God. It's one thing to know about him. It's another thing to know him. It's another thing to know him. You see, God gave up everything for us. And that means that everything in our lives should reflect who we worship. Who are we worshiping? Do our words and our deeds match the character of God? Not our character, the character of God. Because they need to. This third commandment is all about protecting his name. You will not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You know why? Because his name is wonderful. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful. We're so thankful that we have a God who loves us and loves us so much that he came from heaven's glory and lived a perfect, sinless life, died a sacrificial death so that we might be able to come back to you. We are so thankful for all that you have done in our lives. And I know that we're going to continue to just uplift you, praise you, and thank you. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, nobody looking around, please. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, would you just look up here for a second? If you don't know the Lord, you just look up here. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus came so that we could have eternal life. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior we have. And I pray that as we sing, His name is wonderful. But if God speaks to your heart this morning for whatever reason, if you need to trust Him, if you need to confess something in your life that's not supposed to be there, whatever it is, now's the time. Let's stand together. We're going to sing, His name is wonderful. Let's stand together.
His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages, Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.